The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me. And they guarded them, and none of them was lost, except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the word hated them. And the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. And you sent me into the world, so I went into the world. So I consecrate them. I consecrate myself for them so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. On Sunday, I will be coming out in red, as well as all the priests in the world that are Catholics will be coming out in red. And it's not because we're promoting communism. No, it's not that. Red is usually the color of the Mass for a martyr like today. But once in the year, it's because of Pentecost, because of the color of fire, which is red-orange. And it's the coming of the Holy Spirit. The saint that we celebrate today is a fascinating saint. He's born around 100, when the apostles were basically dying, this man came up and he became a great saint. He was born in Samaria, but he was born a pagan. But like Saint Augustine, he was searching for the truth. And he was an intellectual, a brilliant intellectual. He was a philosopher who studied Plato and Socrates, the great philosophical schools. And he would travel from one city to the next and talk with great teachers because wanted to know what the truth was. Even though he was doing the best reading back then, you can't go beyond Aristotle and Plato back 2,000 years ago, but he still wasn't happy. Till someone said, why didn't you read the Bible? Now, you didn't have the New Testament back there. You had just the Old Testament. And he read the Bible. And he was converted to Christianity by reading the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament, what do you have there? The prophecies of Jesus, Isaiah, and Psalm 22, all these prophecies that Christ would become, he would be the Messiah and the Savior. So he was converted. And he became a great Christian, Catholic, philosopher, and apologist. Apologist doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry that I'm a Catholic. Okay, doesn't mean that. Note apologist doesn't mean you're sorry, Sorry, I'm a Catholic. No. Rather, an apologist is someone that defends his faith. He's able to defend his faith. I'll give you three great apologists today, and they're lay people. Patrick Madrid is a very good apologist. No doubt. I like to listen to him, especially when someone's fighting him, just because he defends himself very well. Another would be, I was on the radio with him years ago, Tim Staples, okay? Then Scott Hahn. Those are three of the best apologists you have out there. Okay. In honor of this saint, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to give you a little lesson in apologetics, okay? Free of charge. Okay, after abortion, and this I learned by listening to Patrick Madrid. After abortion, what is the biggest moral danger in our country? Obviously, it's the LGBT and the transgenderism, right? That's a no-brainer, right? After abortion. That's the second greatest moral danger. You know, there's a good chance that you're going to have grandchildren that are going to come out and say, I'm gay, I'm lesbian, I want to change my sex. Then that happened probably to some of your grandchildren. I hope not. But there's a good possibility because of the way education is heading in this country. And I've said it once, I'll say it again. Homeschooling. You hear me? Homeschooling. Homeschooling. Or a good private Catholic school. Homeschooling or a good Catholic school, because you got some Catholic schools that are just Catholic schools in name, okay? Just in name. Okay? They sound good, but they don't teach Orthodox Catholic teaching. Okay. Patrick Madrid was talking with a woman in Maine, and her daughter, who's about 14 and 8, they're being exposed to transgenderism. And they're already brainwashing her children at 8 and 14. So Patrick Madrid said, okay, if your children are talking to a lesbian or transgenderism, how can you defend traditional marriages? Okay, do the Socratic method. Socratic method? You ask a question. Okay, ask this. Do you believe in freedom? You people are immigrants. Okay, I was born here. The Americans love the word freedom. You know that if you're in this country. You love the word freedom. That's a big word in the United States. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Okay. And the person is going to say, of course. Second, do you believe in tolerance? Oh, of course. Oh, of course, tolerance. We have to be tolerant. Third, do you believe in diversity? Of course. Okay, so you believe in freedom. You believe in freedom. You believe in tolerance. You believe in diversity. Therefore, I am a girl, and eventually I want to fall in love with a man, and I want to form a traditional family. Yeah. It's a good argument. You hear me? So remember, that's a good, simple... And Patrick Madrid said that an 8-year-old child can learn that. And you people are older than 8 years old, no? So we have to start to learn these basic apologetical tools to defend our faith. Okay, I'll give you one more. Okay, in honor of St. Justin. All of you here have relatives, your children, your adult children, that have walked away from the church, right? Right? And you're suffering because of that. I know it because you come to me complaining about that, right? And I'm suffering with you. In my family, we're 9. Only one of us has walked away from the church, which is huge. One of nine? And we're praying that this lost sheep will come back eventually. We're praying that he'll come back, no? And we pray and we hope that he'll come back, no? So, I would use this tool for your children who have walked away. Get them to sit down and read John chapter 6. You hear me? What did I say? No, 7, John chapter 6, okay? Someone said 7, right? John chapter 6. Okay, if they read John chapter 6 and they're using their mind, they haven't checked out, they're using their mind, they're going to read, I am the bread of life. You've heard that before, right? What did Jesus say? I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And Jesus repeats it. He says it about 5 times. So if you didn't understand the first time, you're going to get another 4 times. And unless you have a lot of space to rent upstairs, as we say, or you're living in denial, your son or daughter has to admit that that's the Eucharist. You've walked away from the Eucharist. Who cares about the scandals and the problems in the church? You're always going to have problems. I think that the heart of the matter, if you believe in the Eucharist, you're going to come back to the church. Right? That's the kingpin. And that's the art of apologetics. Get them to read John chapter 6, and then you pray that they will come back to receive the Eucharist. So let's pray for the grace to be apologetics, that we'll be able to defend our faith, love our faith, and like St. Justin, God willing, even to die for our faith. Amen.